From CAP Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm your host, Chris Nichols. Last week, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled on what's been called the most important homelessness case in decades, Grants Pass versus Johnson. In a 6-3 decision along ideological lines, the court gave cities more authority to arrest and fine people who sleep outside in public places. This comes 6 years after a separate federal ruling granted protections to homeless residents in California and across the western United States. To talk about how the decision will impact the unhoused community here in Sacramento is Angela Hassel, Executive Director of Sacramento Loaves and Fishes. We're also joined by Marisa Kendall, who covers homelessness for the nonprofit newsroom Cal Matters. Angela, Marisa, welcome to you both.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for having us.
Angela, let's start with your initial reaction to the Supreme Court ruling last week.
Yeah, you know, I can't say that I was altogether shocked with the decision, but we are incredibly disappointed, as we know that this will have really severe impacts on the folks that we serve and in the ways that Sacramento chooses to enforce ordinances already on the books. And I think we're going to see kind of an increase in some of those things happening and a little bit more devastation with our guests.
Well, explain specifically what you mean. What kind of impacts, what could this do for folks who are camped in public places?
Sure. Yeah, this opens up some of those ordinances within the city of Sacramento around camping on sidewalks and existing in public spaces It kind of gives a green light for the enforcement of those, whereas prior to this ruling, the Martin v. Boise case put some protections in place that if there is no place for folks to go, that it was unrecommended to be moved along and camp swept and things like that. Although those things continue to happen, there's an increased level of fear amongst the folks at Loaves and Fishes, especially this morning as I walked around Friendship Park and folks were asking me different questions about like, well, what's this going to mean? And there's kind of a sense of unease around it. And, you know, as we know, folks with criminal records are less likely to be able to attain affordable housing or permanent housing because those things give folks a criminal record. And when landlords do background checks, those things show up. And it's just rather unfortunate that this is where we are.
Angela, just remind folks just briefly some of the services you provide at Loaves and Fishes.
Absolutely. We are first and foremost a dining room. And so we provide a hot noon meal every single day of the year. We have Friendship Park and Mary House for adult services where men and women can receive showers, tickets for our lunch resource counseling. We have a school, Mustard Seed School, for children who are experiencing homelessness and their families to be a bridge and, you know, support in the meantime and then a bridge back to public school. Genesis Mental Health provides triage mental health care, whether it's consistent or just kind of on a needs basis. We're one of the only walk-in centers in our part of Sacramento where folks can come in and be seen today. And then Sister Nora's Place is our one small shelter on campus for single women who have experienced chronic homelessness and also struggle with mental health.
You mentioned the concern on the part of some folks who are unhoused in the area that you serve. I do want to add a statement from Sacramento Mayor Daryl Steinberg. He was not able to join us today to talk about the ruling. He did release a written statement on Friday, and it reads, "Unsheltered homelessness in Sacramento fell 41% between 2022 and 2024 due to our strategy of combining more shelter, housing, and services with an insistence that people cannot live in large encampments and violate ordinances protecting sidewalks, parks, and other critical spaces." His statement goes on to say, "This court ruling should not change our balanced, compassionate approach." That's the end of the statement. You know, Angela, I know you and I have spoken. Your group is not, well, you've questioned whether the homeless population truly has declined in
right.
Sacramento. But I'm wondering if you have any thoughts on the mayor's statement there after the ruling.
The sweeps of encampments in Sacramento has been happening throughout, and this sort of opens the door to legitimize more of those types of things. And so that has been part of the city's approach. And that is one of the scariest and most traumatic things for the folks that we serve, is that they can sometimes congregate and build community in different places and find resources. One of the examples of that is the situation with Camp Resolution right now, and that has been a sanctioned camp by the city, and they were offered a lease. They're struggling right now with some of their sanitation services, as that contract with the county has been the pandemic funding is no longer there, and kind of maintaining those services for the folks there. So there's kind of a different side to that from the perspective of the folks that we serve, in addition to the fact that we have seen in a similar time frame that the 41% decrease in numbers of unsheltered homelessness has been recorded. We've seen a 6% increase in the number of folks coming to us for our survival services at Loaves and Fishes. So that kind of makes some of those things a little bit hard to reconcile with the experiences that I know are happening on our campus every day.
I want to bring in one more local voice on this topic. Shortly after the ruling was announced on Friday, I spoke with Sacramento County District Attorney Tian Ho. The DA supports the ruling and has previously sued the city of Sacramento for what he says is the city's failure to enforce its own rules on homelessness. I asked the district attorney for his reaction to the ruling.
It was one of both relief and, another sort of feeling of excitement, you know, rolling up your sleeves and trying to tackle this very complex situation that we really need to address in a compassionate but accountable way for everybody. So if anything, I felt invigorated by it. I felt invigorated that, you know, now we can continue to move forward, that some of the limitations or excuses have been removed. And it's time to get to work to really help those that are on the streets and off the streets.
District Attorney Ho, for months now, you have argued that the city of Sacramento has failed to enforce its own homelessness laws. You've even taken the city to court over that issue. So what impact do you think today's ruling will have on cities like Sacramento and others as they wrestle with ongoing homeless problems?
So when I started examining the unhoused homeless crisis here in Sacramento, I discovered that for over a year, the city of Sacramento had not enforced a single one of its homeless ordinances at all. Not a single arrest, not a single citation, not a single prosecution at all. And so as a result of that, I notified the city, gave them an opportunity to really, engage in the community, provide services. And I sued the city, identifying 16 different encampments. As of today, they have cleared all 16 of those encampments. And in the 7 months since I sued the city of Sacramento, they did more enforcement and cleanup in those 7 months than I dare say consistently in the 7 years before that. And I think that for some within the city, and not all, some utilize the Martin versus Boise Grants Pass case as an excuse not to do things, not to be engaged. And I think that what this does for those cities is it removes that excuse. Those cities can, like San Diego has been doing, have a three-step process at providing services, but also in a way that has enforcement to get people off the streets.
Well, finally, District Attorney, you said in a written statement this morning, quote, "This decision underscores the importance of finding compassionate and effective solutions that balance the needs of all residents." You've mentioned that a couple of times now, compassionate and effective solutions. What exactly are those solutions?
Well, first of all, when you're talking about our chronically unhoused population, 9 out of 10 women that are chronically homeless for more than a year are victims of sexual assault. When you go through the coroner's report in regards to the primary causes of death for being unhoused, it's drug overdose, it's blunt force trauma, and then way down on that list is exposure. So it's really not safe for people to be living on the streets. I know that Sheriff Cooper, in the first few months of his administration, contacted 600 of our unhoused people on the streets and offered services and shelter to only 7 people accepted it. So I think when we talk about compassionate, we want to continue to engage and make sure that services and shelters are offered. I think we need to do that. I think we need to offer shelters before we move anybody. It's the only compassionate thing in services. But if someone's not willing to move and they've been offered shelter and services, then they can't necessarily encamp or start a fire in front of a park, a school, in front of somebody's home or business. So there has to be that balance there. And San Diego did just that. They enacted a three-step ordinance. And when they did so, their unhoused population in the core of the city of San Diego dropped by 60%. And I've advocated for a similar proposal here in the city. I've also advocated for a Haven for Hope model that if somebody who happens to be unhoused, they get picked up for a crime that's nonviolent. Instead of getting taken to jail, they get taken to a Haven for Hope location where they get assessed, they get triaged, and they get offered mental health and drug addiction services. And if they don't accept that, then they'll go see me in the criminal justice system. And so it's the incentive versus, you know, stick and carrot, if some people call it that way, where people are given incentives and encouragement to accept services and shelter. And I think that's a compassionate way of dealing with it.
Angela, I know you and the district attorney are certainly on opposite sides of this issue. There's no question about that. But I wanted to just offer you a chance, just a moment, to react to what the district attorney had to say.
Yeah, I think lots of thoughts are going through my head right now. But one of the main things is that this type of approach in moving those and clearing those 16 encampments that he cited, that he identified that the city moved, I think my question would be, where did those people go? Because we know we don't have the shelter beds. We know we don't have the transitional housing beds. We know we don't have the supportive resources and services for all of those folks. I know that the city and the county have an agreement to work together to try to build more infrastructure, build out more of those things. But clearing encampments and in a time when we don't have places for people to go, and when something is offered and then somebody denies it, sometimes what's offered is a solution for a week or a couple of days, and that's not necessarily a long term. That's not a long term solution at all, and folks have to often give up their belongings, give up their community, give up their pets to accept this other solution, temporary solution, or face being arrested or ticketed or fined, and then the consequences of that, which push them further and further from sustainable housing solutions and stability. The other thing that happens in a lot of these conversations is that we turn to policies that blame the individual for these circumstances, where this is a larger systemic problem. Poverty is a systemic thing in our society. That's not unique to Sacramento. That is nationwide. And that's something that is, policy-wise, is very difficult to confront, because we often revert to blaming the individual for their choices or their drug addiction or their mental health or things of that nature, when this is a much larger societal and national issue that is gonna take a lot more energy to combat.
I'd like to bring in Marisa Kendall, who covers homelessness for the nonprofit newsroom Cal Matters. Marisa, we've heard some perspectives from Angela Hassel, from District Attorney Ho, both of whom are based here in Sacramento. But I'm wondering, how is this enforcement issue playing out in other cities across California? And do you think Friday's ruling will impact, how do you think the ruling will impact cities across the state?
Yeah, I think it'll really depend city by city. You know, it's up to them to decide if they want to pass new ordinances criminalizing where people sleep, if they want to just crack down using existing ordinances. You know, San Diego recently passed an ordinance banning encampments in certain areas and banning camps in all areas if there is shelter available. So they had some of these protections already baked into this ordinance, but they still are cracking down pretty hard there. In San Francisco, Mayor London Breed has said that this court decision is going to allow them to start becoming, quote unquote, much more aggressive in their enforcement. And in San Jose, Mayor Matt Mahan has talked about the possibility of potentially compelling people to accept offers of shelter now that this decision has come down. So I think we will be seeing some changes.
Marisa, you also wrote about the Supreme Court ruling on Friday. Can you explain, what arguments did the 6-3 majority make in siding with the city of Grants Pass?
Yeah, so basically the majority said that the law in Grants Pass that basically banned camping throughout the whole city was not unconstitutional, and it did not violate the Eighth Amendment's ban on cruel and unusual punishment. And they basically said, the Eighth Amendment does not put this into the hands of the court. You know, the court is not who should be deciding how individual cities govern homeless encampments and what kinds of policies they have. And then they also address the question of whether this ordinance criminalized the very act of being homeless, you know, whether it criminalized homelessness as a status. And they decided that no, it did not, because, you know, this statute or this ordinance would apply to, say, a student protester sleeping in the park or a backpacker sleeping outside as well. So that was how they came down.
You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. If you're just joining us, we're talking with Angela Hassel from Sacramento Loaves and Fishes and CalMatters homelessness reporter Marisa Kendall about last week's Supreme Court ruling in the case of Grants Pass versus Johnson. Before we move on, Marisa, I want to make sure our audience knows where California's governor stands on this issue. Can you explain how Governor Gavin Newsom sees this ruling?
Yeah, he came down in full support of this ruling. He commended the ruling, and he has long said that the prior protections that existed were tying cities' hands and preventing them from using, you know, common sense measures to clear encampments. So he's very happy with the court's ruling. And it's very interesting because it's really divided people across party lines. You know, now Newsom is on the same side as some of his Republican co-workers, which is interesting and not something you often see.
You know, we just have a few moments left. And before we end, we want to pass along some information on what's being, given the heat in Sacramento this week, we want to pass along some information on what's being called a heat wave relief drive. We've seen there's going to be triple digit temperatures all week. And that means there is an extreme heat risk for those without shelter and air conditioning. The relief drive will be held today through Friday from 8 a.m. to 7 p.m. at the First Steps Community's homeless shelter at 1400 North A Street in the River District in Sacramento. The most needed supplies are water, electrolyte powders, cooling towels, blankets, fans, and pet water bowls. Angela, we do have a couple of minutes. I'm wondering if you can pass along any information about efforts at Loaves and Fishes this week to prepare for the extreme heat.
Absolutely. We will have water filling stations available on campus throughout the day, so folks can access that. We've also been passing out bottled water and ice at the end of every day, and we will continue doing that throughout the heat wave in many of our programs for folks. We know in Sacramento, the heat often hits a little bit later in the day, which is around the time that many of our programs close. So we try to give things out towards the end of the day and let folks take it with them to help them get through those hot hours before the sun falls and things cool down a little bit. Although with a heat wave like this, with triple digit temperatures for days in a row, we know it doesn't really cool down a whole lot. It can still be 90 degrees at 10 o'clock at night. So we're hoping to keep people safe and hydrated as best we can.
Yeah. What does it mean for someone who is maybe in an encampment, camped on a sidewalk, when you have these 3, 4, 5, 6 days of triple digit temperatures that we're going to have? I mean, what does that do to someone physically?
It is exhausting. It makes any type of rest or sleep nearly impossible. You know, many folks that have air conditioning in their homes even struggle to sleep at night with the heat, just in keeping cool and keeping caught up. So imagine that on hot pavement that retains the heat after the sun goes down into the dark hours and into the morning. We find a lot of people are cranky and grumpy and thirsty and just worn out, bone exhausted during these times.
I know Sacramento over in recent years has more consistently opened cooling centers. These are sort of bare bones facilities where people can get out of the heat temporarily. You know, there are not a lot of services provided there, but they do provide this sort of emergency center for people. At CAP Radio, we'll be reporting on those and letting people know when those open. And I also know that we'll be continuing to cover how this Supreme Court ruling plays out across Sacramento, across California in future months. Angela and Marisa, thank you both very much for joining me on Insight today.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Angela Hassel is the executive director of Sacramento Loaves and Fishes, and Marisa Kendall is the homelessness reporter for the nonprofit newsroom CalMatters. You're listening to Insight on CAP Radio, where facts matter and stories inspire. I'm Chris Nichols.